Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of the Carnegie Mellon University Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center sponsored by the U.S. Department of Defense and operated by Carnegie Mellon University. A transcript of today's podcast is posted on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts. My name is Suzanne Miller. I'm a principal researcher here at the SEI. Today, I'm very pleased to introduce you to Dr. Anin Day, Director of CMU's Human-Computer Interaction Institute, and Dr. Jeff Bowling, a senior researcher in the SEI's Advanced Mobile Systems Initiative. In today's podcast, we are going to be discussing their joint research into context-aware computing. These two researchers are collaborating to understand the mission, role, and task of individual dismounted soldiers and using context derived from sensors on them and their mobile devices to ensure that they have the information and support they need to optimize their mission. But first, a little bit about our guests. We are very fortunate to have Dr. Anin Day with us today. Dr. Day is an early pioneer in context-aware computing and authored one of the seminal papers in the field titled Understanding and Using Context. We've provided a link to that paper in our transcript, and I hope you will read it. In his research, Dr. Day uses sensors and mobile technology to develop tools and techniques for understanding and modeling human behavior, primarily within the domains of health, automobiles, sustainability, and education. One of his projects, called DwellSense, used sensors to monitor daily activities of older people to detect physical or cognitive decline. The use of computer vision and other tools to detect behavior disorders such as autism, automobile navigation systems that adapt to an individual's preferences, and automobile systems that convey navigation information through the steering wheel via sensory or touch feedback. Dr. Jeff Bowling is a senior member of the technical staff at the SEI on the Advanced Mobile Systems team. His interests and experience span a wide gamut of computer science, from network protocols, operating systems, distributed computation and embedded systems, to numerical analysis, scientific computing, parallel processing, and concurrency. And I'm betting he uses all of these fields when he starts talking about context-aware computing. Welcome to you both.
Thanks.
For those of you who haven't listened to our previous podcast on context-aware computing, let's start by having you give us a brief introduction to this topic, and also if you could define what is a dismounted soldier. Not everyone may be familiar with that term.
So I'll take the dismounted soldier part. One of the reasons we focus on dismounted soldiers is we try to, if we can find a solution for the hardest problems, then it will scale to other,
dismounted in this mean does not mean not riding a horse. It means
not in a vehicle, carrying everything on their body that they need. All of the power, all the compute, everything is person carried.
Okay.
So it's, and I like to call it the first tactical mile. And because they're mobile and they're dismounted, limited battery life, limited computing, their bandwidth is disconnected and intermittent at times. So sometimes you have to be able to work without a network connection or without a cloud connection. So it's the most challenging environment we can conceive of. And there's a need for much better automation support in that environment.
Okay, so that's the need.
Yeah.
One example of the need. So the goal of the context-aware computing is?
To try and understand, to basically try and infer what that need is. So understand what the situation is for those military personnel, for those dismounted soldiers, using all the sensing capability that they're carrying, in addition, if they're sensors, happen to be sensors in the field that they can rely on, but using that information to try and understand what the need is and then infer what the information is that they have to have.
Okay.
There's just to add a little bit about the dismounted soldier, there's an interesting DARPA initiative going on that's about a year and a half old, that it made the observation that the technology that's carried by soldiers into battle today has changed very little since the 60s.
Really?
Yeah. So they're at the same firearms and the same, almost the same radios that were being used in Vietnam are by and large the same ones that are issued to them today. So
even the defense, DARPA is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. So even that agency is seeing a disconnect in the technology available versus what is actually used.
Yes, well, specifically to the dismounted soldier, right? We put tons of technology into cockpits, tons of technology into tanks and wheeled vehicles. But once the person's got their boots on and they're carrying what they can with them, they're carrying the same stuff that they carried in Vietnam, basically.
except for the smartphone.
And in only limited ways are they carrying smartphones now, but we hope that's to see true. It. And yeah. Actually, I hope that soldiers are, in fact, carrying smartphones on an experimental basis in combat today. But one of my goals is that the smartphone is not the piece of automation that the soldier carries, that it's a much smarter, better form factor than that. So.
Well, and we're starting to see some of that mm-hmm. come about in terms of different form factors and different ways of enabling computing without, as we call it, the brick.
Yeah.
So, and then in one of your papers, you defined context-aware as environmental information that is part of an application's operating environment and that can be sensed by the application. So when we see things like Google Glasses and other wearable computing devices, how is the context-aware kind of aspect fitting into that side of technology?
Right. So both those devices, or that collection of devices, whether it's a wearable smartwatch or the Google Glasses or a wearable or mobile phone, you can treat it as two different things. The first is a platform on which you can do a lot of mobile sensing about an individual or the environment. And the second piece is an information consumption device. So it's a place where applications can push information to individuals. So if it's Google Glasses, then I can see it without having to pull a device out. If it's my wearable smartwatch, then I could sort of just glance or I can get buzzed when there's information to be presented to me. But it's an additional, more convenient platform other than having to pull out a computer or a phone.
So there are situations where those kinds of devices would provide some advantage when my hands are full and I can still consume data, but
that's right.
I don't actually have the ability to actually access a smartphone in a traditional way.
Right. And when time is of the essence, right? If I have to take the 5 seconds to pull up my phone, load the right app, or even if the information's there, I still have to pull it out because it's probably not easy access. Very different than if information can just blast on my watch or my phone or my glasses.
I haven't tried Google Glasses yet, but I have a couple of friends that are very intrigued by them. So, okay, but now we're going to go to the joint research project.
I have a little anecdote. I got one of those smartwatches that forwards when I get a text or an email, it forwards mm-hmm. it to my wrist. And actually, one of the things one of my friends does is when they know I'm making an important presentation in front of, you know, the leaders of our of SEI or something, he'll send untoward things to my smartwatch so that while I'm talking I look down at them and it always makes me grin and then throws you off a little bit. It's an interesting
but also way. Probably makes you relax.
Yeah,
he's
interesting.
He's trying to make you relax.
That's what it is.
That's
it's
what
a,
we're going to say. You
interesting
to do...
way to use the,
well, and
those
that's,
kinds of warn devices.
And actually that's one of the things that's I would argue that's a challenge of context-aware computing is can the device actually know enough about your goal and your situation at the time to know now is not the time.
Yeah, and
to
in this
get
case,
one of those
in this case, it doesn't know. Yeah.
So we haven't advanced that far yet.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go to your research project that you're working on together. Anand, you lead CMU's Human Computer Interaction Institute. Jeff, you work to help warfighters and emergency personnel operate at the tactical edge, and we've defined that as environments constrained by limited communication connectivity, storage availability, processing power, battery life. The dismounted soldier that you described fits that. Tell us about this current research project and how you came to collaborate on this work.
So we started a project about 2 years ago. We got some funding to look at how can we more effectively share information in a group of soldiers. So we developed a data model that would encapsulate the mission and the role and the tasks of those soldiers. And as we started sharing information, we started realizing that we can cue on the numerous sensors in mobile devices to even do a better job of delivering information. We were very naive when we started. It would be a menu pressed by one person would prompt another user, right? And then as we started to automate some of that with the sensor inputs, we looked to Carnegie Mellon, which for people working in the space that have a lot of experience in doing that, and we sought out Anand as a collaborator in his group, so that because we were very naive going into it.
The human side.
Yeah.
The SEI is really good on the computer side, but we need more. We need help on the human side because that's not a specialty area of many of our researchers.
Yeah, so we came in and we initially gave advice on just how the application should look and feel when information is being presented to the individual soldiers or the group of soldiers. And I think since then, really, the collaboration has really blossomed. So we've gone off now starting looking at more of the technical side on terms of frameworks that would support information mm-hmm. provision based on context. We're starting to look at how to take individual context and try and infer group context, and then how to apply these in a variety of applications.
So you're starting to build frameworks, which is one of the things that the SEI is actually very adept at. So tell us about how you're field testing this framework. Because one of the things we know about frameworks is good ideas don't always play out when you get them out into the field, especially when you have a lot of different things coming together in a framework.
Sure. Yeah. Our first attempt at that was we went out to the an exercise at Camp Roberts in California called Joint Force Experimentation Exercise, I think, JFX. And we basically just put handhelds in the hands of some soldiers, and we basically did some land navigation exercise and said, does this help you? And we got a lot of feedback there. But again, we were just starting. And then we also developed and came back to Pittsburgh and developed a relationship with a local Air Force Reserve wing out at Pittsburgh Air Station. And that has really led to some good collaboration. We created some scenarios. They have disaster scenarios on their base that they exercise and to work through their procedures and their responses. And so we created an application that does a series of things to help them respond to those emergency situations and prompts them, delivers them information, prompts them to do the right things. And we've, again, gotten good feedback there. And then most recently, we wanted to really focus on activity recognition. And we tried to simulate things like being on patrol or taking cover from gunfire or something. And it turns out when you try to simulate those things, it doesn't work very well. So we actually conceived of a very realistic scenario where the feedback is good, and we use paintball now. So we've done a couple of different paintball scenarios.
I bet you have lots of volunteers.
We did. We had a ton of volunteers actually, and the IRB approved it, so that was good.
Our institutional review board is responsible for making sure we're responsible with our human subject research.
Absolutely, yeah, and so we took some volunteers from the 9/11 Reserve Wing, and also some people from our group, and we went out and we created some paintball scenarios that simulated live action combat and put sensors on them and mobile devices on them and recorded the data streams from the sensors as they did that. And we're in the process of distilling the data now.
And so the activity recognition that you're looking for is friend or foe, that sort of thing? Or what kind of level of detail are you looking for in terms of activity recognition?
At the simplest, it would be individual activities like I'm running, I'm walking.
Okay.
I fell down and I haven't moved for a while. That could be important. All the way to, we're trying to really see if we can recognize group activities like this group of soldiers is on patrol and they now came in contact with an enemy, or they got ambushed, or they started firing, or somebody started firing to them. Those kinds of information cues are incredibly important. They're of course important for the squad that's being engaged, but they're incredibly important to get that information back to horizontal supporting forces or to a command post that can provide aid after an event like that.
Okay, or even during if it's
fast absolutely,
enough.
Absolutely.
Even better. So, what are your initial results? How'd that go? I want to know about the paintball. How did that go?
We are very early in the phase of trying to understand the activities in the paintball, so we'll have to report that to you in a later.
All right. Podcast. Okay. That's perfect for another one. Future podcast. All right.
We did some initial distillation for individual activity recognition though, and those results came out really well. Mm-hmm. 80% or 90%,
something like that.
And so you match I assume you did something like video, so you match the sort of actual to was predicted by the by the mobile sensors.
And it turns out that's a huge challenge. Yes.
Multi-perspective video, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and providing ground truth for the training algorithms is a lot of monotonous work.
Yeah, yeah, that's a challenge. That's good. So, Jeff, we've interviewed several of your team members on the Advanced Mobile Systems Initiative whose work seems to impact this. We talked a little bit about big data. I know some of the throwable wireless networks is some other work that's going on. James Edmondson is doing some autonomous system stuff. Somi Samanta is doing edge analytics. How are you interacting with some of that other research that's going on with your colleagues in mobile systems?
Yeah, so in our mobile systems group, we've got four primary focus areas that are complementary to each other. On the one sense, we've got a thing we call, it's cyber foraging is the generic term, which is really just compute offload, recognizing that a person can't carry a supercomputer. But if there's a nearby compute node that they could offload that data to, it's sort of like moving the cloud as close to the edge of the battlefield as you can. In fact, it builds upon work from Satya and his group on campus called Cloudlets.
Right.
So that's sort of the infrastructure piece of what we see as our edge systems. Mark Nowakowski and I, with an INS group, have been working on the handheld piece or on the soldier-carried piece, and also at the application and information delivery side. James Edmondson's work is how can we have autonomous devices in the environment supporting and providing data, you know, supporting the soldiers. And the last piece, the edge analytics piece, is how can we use external information that's going on in the world, how can you distill that in real time or near real time to also provide cues to that dismounted soldier?
So all those have some effect on this context aware kinds of research, or you have, and you affect them as well.
Yeah, and we think we've got the we've got the edge space fairly well covered from a computing research area with each of those four efforts.
So have you looked into some of the other things that I've seen out of the Human Computer Interaction Institute, where you're looking at different ways of interacting with the computers, the projected screens, and the using your hand as the device, and some of those things? Are those at all on the radar of what you've been talking about in this area
yet? Yeah, we've certainly discussed alternative modalities for both presenting information as well as providing input to the system, but we're not actively working on any of those at this point.
It's on the horizon, though, because another engagement we have is with Special Operations Command, and this alternative input and alternative information presentation is going to loom large in the next year to two.
Yeah, we were talking about sort of the inconvenience of smartphones and the one presentation I saw a couple of years ago about, you know, some of the prototypes of using your hand as an input device. It's like, well, you know, I should be able to count on having my hand there. Now, maybe a glove on it, you know, but I mean, there are some modalities that are actually less risky. I lose my glasses, I lose my phone, that I can keep some of this with. So
right, you want as much flexibility as possible. So you want to be able to leverage whatever's around you. If there's a wall beside you, you want to be able to project onto that wall. If there's a table here, it's the table. But that tremendous flexibility, I think, is going to be key, particularly since you don't know what situation you're going to be in.
I think that's something that may have some fun in the paintball world for you as well as others.
Yeah.
So I've given you my idea of where some of this research should go. What are some of your ideas about where this collaboration should go?
What I really want to build is the ultimate personal assistant. And this is an age-old problem. People in AI have been thinking about this problem and working on this problem for years. But the ultimate personal assistant knows what you need before you need it. And that it's not just even the information you need. It's how to present it to you so that it's not overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And it's a way that you can take action on right away. The challenge that we're facing with context awareness is how to take, again, as we said before, this really raw, this multitude of raw information sources and distill it into something that's actually useful. So,
and there's the useful, and then now you're getting into not just the physical state of the human, but also the emotional state.
And cognitive, absolutely.
Right, because the trick with the personal assistant is knowing when to speak up and when to wait 10 minutes until after some other event has gone on.
Exactly.
So that context is another really big challenging area.
Right, so just as an aside, and I think it will play into the work that we do in our collaboration, we're currently doing some work in the automotive field where we're trying to determine automatically when a driver is most acceptable or susceptible to information coming from an external source. Mm-hmm. So if the driver is, you know, white-knuckled and leaning forward, then we know we shouldn't provide any information unless it's life-critical information.
Right.
But if they're sort of one-handed driving and leaning back, then we know that there's opportunities to provide them information. So we're trying to look at the value of the information coming in, the cost of presenting that information, and their current driving state in order to figure out, does this information come through or not? And I think there's a great analogy.
Right.
And I think there's a great analogy to what we're doing in the automated domain to this dismounted soldier.
Right. And so in that case, are they under fire? I'm not going to tell them what the weather is going to be in 10 minutes if they're under fire right now. When they want to know that.
Right. And that's why we need to understand both the individual activities as well as these group activities.
Excellent. Well, I thank you both for joining us and talking about this wonderful collaboration. I love to see campus and the SEI get to do fun stuff together, and this certainly sounds like that qualifies. So I do want to thank you both for sharing that with us. So Jeff's research team, who's doing work in the pervasive mobile computing, has information on the Our Work site at sei.cmu.edu/mobilecomputing/research. And Anand has more information about the Human Computer Interaction Institute that he leads at hci.cmu.edu. This podcast is available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts and on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at info@sei.cmu.edu. Thank you for listening.